I'm going to open just by reading a portion out of Luke chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. And you guys will all be familiar with this. So Luke chapter 4, verse 17. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And I think everyone must have had quite a shock when Jesus got up and read that and said that in your hearing this has been fulfilled. But that was his mission. God sent him and anointed him with the Holy Spirit to come and set people free and to restore sight to those who were blinded, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And after he died, he came back to his disciples and he reminded them of that mission and he commissioned them to continue that mission. And he's commissioning us to continue that mission. So I'll just read quickly from John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. When Jesus came back, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So Jesus came back. He had died. He came back and reiterated that mission and breathed the Holy Spirit. Those two are connected. And it's the same where he read the scroll. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to go and do all these things." And the Spirit of the Lord is on us to go and do the mission that he's called us to. And we've been talking about that for a long time, going through the series on the Holy Spirit, going through the series on the lost. What is God's mission? How do we do it by the Spirit? And what is the Holy Spirit? How does he work? And understanding him a bit more. And I shared last week when I was leading the meeting just how I felt God highlighting to me over and over again that he's wanting to set captives free. And I think we saw part of that when Ken and Michelle came, and I think we experienced part of that. I want to spend some more time on the setting the captives free, because he's really laid it on my heart. And I don't think it's just for me. Hopefully not. So the first thing, obviously, that Jesus's mission was to set people free from sin. And for the sake of what I believe everyone in here has faith in God, knowing you guys and knowing the family and looking around, but I don't want to miss an opportunity to share the gospel. And I'm sure you guys don't mind hearing good news again. It's always good news. Every time you hear it. So for the sake of anyone that hasn't put their faith in God, I want to spend some time focusing on the first part of that prophecy that Jesus read out, where he said there is good news. And the good news is that you are poor. It's very good news. You need to get to the point that you understand that you are poor, completely bankrupt. Even though you may have everything in the world, it's never going to satisfy you. Because the fundamental problem is that you have been separated from your Creator. You've been robbed of your inheritance. When people first distrusted God and thought that he was withholding something from him, they lost their inheritance because they rebelled against him. And this became our nature in all of us humans, is to distrust God and not believe him, not trust him. And that is sin, because we disobey, we rebel against him, and we are separated from him. But Jesus came, first of all, to proclaim good news. When he came, he didn't just come to teach us a way of life, as we all know. He came to die on the cross to pay our price, the penalty that we deserved, that our relationship can be restored. He came as a sacrifice for each one of us, precious sacrifice. Our inheritance that was taken from us, Jesus came to restore it. And yeah, if there's anyone, I don't think there will be, but I feel that we can't miss this opportunity. If there's anybody that hasn't received that sacrifice, I want to encourage you, come and chat to me afterwards and let's pray about it. Chat to somebody that you trust and pray about it, because you can't leave here not receiving that gift. It's the most precious thing. You've been robbed of an inheritance and you can have it back. So today what I'm wanting to do is to spend some time looking through the scriptures about the new life that we have in the Holy Spirit, to live in the Spirit that Jesus talked about. So please turn with me to Romans 8. And just as an introduction of that, I'll read a little bit out of Romans 7 before, but we're going to be reading and focusing most of the time on Romans 8. So 7 verse 1 through to, we'll go down to 6. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So we have new life in the Spirit, but I believe that even us as believers that have made our commitment to God, we've received that sacrifice that He paid. I believe that there's still some things that can hold us captive, and there's still some things that can blind our sight. We can have impaired vision. We might be blind to some spiritual truths that God wants to reveal to us. And the Spirit does that. I feel that God wants to release us by His Spirit, and He wants to recover our good sight again. When Ken and Michelle were here, I just had this wonderful experience with the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure a lot of you did as well. And there was lots of prophecy, there was lots of ministry, and it's just a really special time. But what I was most surprised was after that time, in the 2 weeks, three weeks since then, I don't even know what week we're in, but in the time since then, there's been these little moments during the day, completely unexpectedly, where the Holy Spirit will encounter me, which I haven't been really sensitive to before, but there's been just incredible times where it's been unexpected and not me seeking after Him, but He's just meeting with me during the day. And I've realized there's so much more for me that I'm missing out on in my day-to-day, in my daily walk, as I go through work, not encountering the Holy Spirit, that I could have. And I'm desperate for that. I'm really have got a hunger after that weekend. And I think a lot of us do too, that we're really hungry for that encounter with the Holy Spirit. That was Jesus' mission, to set us free from the old way of living, and there's a new way of life that He's given us. So that was us, just the intro in Romans 7, just to prepare us for Romans 8. And I don't know what your Bible, what your translation has got, but at the top of chapter 8 in my Bible, it says life in the Spirit. And I'm going to pick out, I would love to go through all of it, the whole of Romans 8, but yeah, I don't like to be talking for too long, so I won't be going through all of it. But what I will be doing is just picking out some key verses where the Spirit is speaking in Romans 8. So let's look at Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We have been set free from the law of sin and death by the Spirit. We've had our guilt, the condemnation, taken away from us, and we're set free completely. We need to live in these truths, the truths of the word, of what God's telling us. We have been set free from our sin. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So he's taking it just a little bit further there. There's a new life. Setting the mind on the Spirit is life. We are free from death. We've been given new life, which we saw just now and which we've spoken about earlier. But there's something extra added at the end of that, and that's peace. What more could each of us want or desire than peace? Especially in the world that we live in at the moment, where 1 in 5 British people are on antidepressants. And please don't hear what I'm not saying. I think those medications are incredibly helpful, and I'm so grateful that we have those. But what I'm saying is that there's an issue. There's an issue with anxiety. There's an issue with fear. There's an issue with depression. And it's becoming more and more and more prevalent, stress and anxiety. And we find ourselves under those states a lot of the time. Even if we're not taking medication for it, we're living a lot of our life with fear and anxiety and stress and things that we shouldn't be living with. That's often our state that we live in. And God wants to come and set us free from that. I don't mean that we're never fearful, we're never concerned about things, or we never feel those ways again, but we're not going to live in that way. We're not going to live in a way of fear and anxiety. Let's look a bit further down. Before we go there, I just want to ask, do any of you feel that you've got enough peace? I think that answers what I was saying there, is that we really do live with those fears and anxiety. If we could have more peace, what an incredible way to live. So let's look further down. Let's go down to verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. So you can see there that there is this thing of falling back into fear. And I think a lot of the time we do that. But Paul's reminding us here, and he's encouraging us here, that if we are led by the Spirit of God, we are sons of God. We didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. We don't need to live in that captivity. We don't need to keep being held by it. Even though we break free and go back into it, we don't need to keep living like that. We've received a spirit of adoption. We are sons and daughters. We cry out, Father. We have a relationship with him. We need to keep reminding ourselves, like I said, where did we say? We set our minds on the Spirit. Yeah, verse 5. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. We need to keep setting our minds on the things of God's Spirit, to be set free, to be sons and daughters. And not only sons and daughters, to have that inheritance back that we were talking about earlier, to be heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. But Jesus wants to repair the damaged relationship that we had with our Father and Creator, and bring us back into a right relationship, to restore our minds with truth and refresh them with that truth. He wants to restore vision to our blinded eyes, where we've had our vision impaired, where we don't see God as our perfect loving Father. We may have false ideas about God that the Spirit can come and correct. and bear witness with our spirit that we actually are children of God, even when we don't feel like it. I think being a parent has helped me have a better understanding of my relationship to God, and I'm a very imperfect father, so my understanding is very limited by my personal experience, and it might even be marred by our personal experience if we've had a bad relationship with a father, or bad relationship with those who are supposed to care for us. But the Holy Spirit wants to come this morning and set us free. Set us free to live as children, to trust as children. We break that hold of distrust. Sometimes I think my children are a little bit too free around me, but they know how much their imperfect father loves them, and they trust me because of that. And how much more should each one of us be so free around our Father because He loves us. We should know that love inside of us. How much more should I trust Him, my perfect Heavenly Father? There's also a little mention at the end of that verse, in verse 17, there's also a mention that we'll suffer as Christians. God wants us to be set free from the expectation that things will be just fine. Sometimes that can hold us back or hinder us or break down our trust in Him when things don't go well. But He wants us to be set free from that. Life is not just going to be easy with God, but we spoke about earlier having peace. We're still going to live in a broken, fallen world full of pain and suffering, but we suffer with Christ. Why? So that we can also be glorified with Him, so that we can have that inheritance restored. Verse 17 said, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. We need to set our minds ahead. I was chatting with Steve last night. We had a worship practice, and I've got a friend who's been to church twice with us. He's been suffering from lung cancer, and he's in a very bad way. He had a very bad seizure yesterday and was fully unconscious, and to the doctors, there's nothing more that they can do. And I was chatting with Steve that, yeah, just this thing's on my heart, and my friend, it looks like it's the end for him. And I do trust that God can completely turn that around. God can turn it around once He's died, even if He does die. But we still live in a broken, fallen world. Just Steve's response of looking forward to our future in heaven. What a joy that is. Surely we can suffer with Christ, and we can face the struggles that we're going to face because we've got something bigger to look forward to. We lose sight of that. Our vision is blurry. We need heavenly vision that sees beyond the here and now, that sees beyond this world. Lord, would You please set us free that we can see the glory that's ahead of us. Help us to suffer faithfully. Help us to trust You when things are tough. All right, let's look further down. Verse 26. So we're still in Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. I'm so grateful for that He helps us in our weakness. He can help me now, this lump of clay that's imperfect and broken, and He can help me and He can use me by His Spirit, not because of me, not because of anything good that's in me, and not for my glory, my building up, but for His glory, to build up His kingdom, to build up His church, us, His people. He wants to set us free that from the lie in our minds that things have to be perfect and we have to have it all together. He wants to break that. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, when you acknowledge your weakness and your struggling, that's where He works. His power is made perfect in our weakness. I struggle with that because I struggle with perfectionism and wanting to get everything right. My wife knows. She's just having a little giggle there. But I really do struggle with that. And God wants to set me free from that, that I don't have to have it all together. I don't have to get it right every time. It doesn't have to be perfect. He can use our weakness. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that helps us in our weakness. And I was so encouraged as Ken shared a few weeks ago on the Saturday, I really felt the Spirit talking to me that it's okay to be myself. It's okay to be as God's designed me. I don't feel perfect for the role. I don't feel like I've got it all together, but that's okay. It's okay to be me. It's okay to be different. It's okay to have the weaknesses and the failures that I have, as long as I surrender to them. And I think these are some of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning as we meet with Him. We've been looking at various areas in Romans 8 where the Spirit comes and makes a difference in what He does, the lies that He wants to break, the things that we believe, the things that have blurred our vision that He wants to clear away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And my heart's prayer is that there would be freedom in our day-to-day, not just a momentary encounter with the Spirit, but walking by the Spirit. Paul tells us in Galatians 3, so let's go there for a bit. If you go a little bit further, we'll get to Galatians chapter 3. Paul mentions twice about how we receive the Spirit by faith in Christ. But he also warns us against starting in the Spirit and continuing in the flesh. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" And he's speaking specifically to that church with an issue that was in that church. But he's speaking to all of us that we can't begin by the Spirit and perfect it any other way. That is the perfection. That is the way that we're supposed to continue. We can't start by the Spirit and continue a different way. And in verse 13 of that same chapter, he says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." That's how we receive the Spirit. We receive the Spirit through faith in Christ. And we need to continue in that Spirit. We can't turn back from that. We can't let ourselves be held back by things that hold us captive. We want to be set free to walk by the Spirit. Let's go a little bit further in Galatians, to Galatians chapter 5. And that that will be a very familiar passage to many of us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." I want to encourage us, if there's anywhere where we might have not stood firm, we think we're walking by the Spirit and we're saved, but there might be little things that the Spirit wants to highlight this morning, that we are submitting again to a yoke of slavery. We still love God. We still are so grateful for that sacrifice, and we've received that sacrifice. But maybe we're not walking in the freedom that He wants to give us. And if you look further along in chapter 5, Paul tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." I really believe this morning that God wants to set us free so that we can see more of that fruit in our lives. I don't think we'll ever get to the place where we've got enough of those things. You can look at each one of those and kind of measure yourself. How are we doing? How are we doing walking by the Spirit? Are we full of love? Are we full of joy? We spoke earlier about peace. Do you have enough peace? Are you kind enough? Good enough? And those aren't the things that we're seeking. We're not seeking the fruit. Those are a good way of measuring where we are at abiding in the vine and being nourished by the Spirit. We don't want to try and put on those behaviors in our own power because we can't do it. Lord, we need your power now. I want to encourage you guys that we need that power daily in our walk with God. John Piper says that Christian living is supernatural living. It's beyond the natural, and that's what it is. We can't carry on in the natural. We can't walk in the natural. We can't receive Christ and carry on walking in the natural. It's supernatural, and we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're gonna spend some time praying after this, and I really trust that this hasn't just been for me. God has wanted to speak to me through this specifically, but I feel that if we want to go on as a church and continue that mission, that we need to be set free first before we can go and set others free and talk to them about being set free. We need to live it out and experience it, and there's more of it. We know in part and see in part and experience part of it now, but there's more that God wants to release us into. Short as always, my preachers, but hopefully the Holy Spirit can work through that. I really do trust that God is speaking to us about this.